Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. It's Outcast World.
Hey.
Hi, guys. Hi.
That was really sassy, wasn't it?
Topher's here.
Hi.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, love. What's new in your world?
Working a lot. Did some filming for some big Instagram channel the other day, but I can't say which one because it's got to look like a random street interview. I'm reading my friend's book, my friend Tara. She's going to come on the podcast soon, which I'm excited about. And on Valentine's Day, I spent the morning with a muscle guy eating other guys come out with me. Straight in.
Did we hear that right?
Yeah.
Straight in with that one.
That's the only really provocative thing I've been up to.
You did that on Valentine's Day, something special. You were so who's comes getting eaten at your bum
on the evening of Friday? Of is it Valentine's Day was Saturday, wasn't it? So he was here Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
this new thing where he wants to like eat other people's come out for me.
It was a donor a visitor or
regular friend. It's like I don't really meet new people anymore. Everyone's very. And I'm in like a COVID bubble just with cum. God, I'm going to regret. One day I'm going to watch this, sit back and be like, oh my God. You know, he came over and he liked it. I didn't even register that it was Valentine's Day the next morning. So I've known him for years. So we kind of have this like, we're kind of affectionate with each other. Like I woke up on Valentine's Day with this huge muscle. Like I'm not a body person, believe it or not. I really am not.
I'm not about. That's the biggest fucking lie I've heard in a long time. You're not necessarily,
it's just
but
most of the guys that film,
who says no,
who want to film, have great bodies because they want to show it off, right? So I think people assume that I'm like a body. I'm really not. Generally, not. I'm not like a gym queen, so I don't give a fuck. Still, my favorite type of body is somebody that used to work out a lot and stop. They've got that structure and shape, but then they're soft.
Yes, that's like, that. That's really true.
That's my favorite.
It seems healthy, doesn't it? Healthy and warm. Yeah.
So I woke up on Valentine's morning with like him draped over me. I haven't slept that well in ages, and I'm like, oh God, am I becoming that person that has to sleep with someone?
Well, that never lasts that long. I mean, if you sleep with someone next to someone for years, in the end, you're kind of like, fucking hell, just need a night in a bed of my own. Just get a good night's sleep. I'm still interested. So did the donor? Did they pop? It's no worse than anything else you've said on this show. Did they pop round and donate? Did they donate in person or did they donate remotely? Like by remotely, from home.
He's very DL
send it in.
And he's kind of famous adjacent. The guy who slayed over
my fave.
Anyway, basically, it was just like I had like a. I actually wasn't sure if I wanted to do it because I've never done that before. Believe it or not. And I was like, that's why I'm talking about it, because it's new. So I was like, let me try it, because I want to try something new. And then I contacted somebody who I'd known regularly, and I was like, do you want to like be the donor? And I was honest with him. I wasn't going to like do it without his knowledge.
Yeah, then your jizz will be used for
and he was like, oh, fuck
ways
yeah,
you
I'll
agree
do it. That's
with.
Cool, whatever. And he's like, I'm in a rush, so I've only got like an hour. I'm like, perfect, because I need you to come and go. The other guy, the guy I've known for years, I've actually known the donor for years as well.
It's such like a distant term, isn't it? The donor.
So the donor left, and then the recipient was here 10 minutes later.
The recipient,
I guess, because he was wanting to eat it.
But you were also a recipient. There were almost like two recipients, weren't there? You were almost like you were the vehicle for the donation, weren't you? You were like the motorbike going through the city with the little backpack on full of ice. That was your bum.
That's actually the reason I did it. It's because I haven't really been like very sexually adventurous in a very long time. I've been very stuck in it. So I was like, you know what, let me try it.
Right.
I trust both of these guys, and like they're both really attractive, and I was feeling particularly like heated that day. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. And the sex was great with both.
To think though, that doing that, right, that is so exciting because, I mean, it is. Straight porn has always been stuff like that, but that's really exciting because it's almost, when we were younger, that was like forbidden fruit, wasn't it? Like someone nutting up your ass was like, oh my God. Like, when that happened to you, and it did happen to me when I was younger, when in an era where it was probably risky. It's not risky now, I don't think. But everyone's on PrEP. Everyone's on PrEP, and everyone who's positive is on meds. So the risks are a lot less than they were. It's completely different. But imagine I said to you in 90, you're younger than me, but if you'd said to me in like 2000, 1999 or something like that, someone jizzed up my arse, I'd be like, oh my God. Oh my God. And it would play in your mind forever. But now with just that liberation, it's like different world, innit? Like I said, straight people, I'm not straight people haven't been doing this for years, but you know what I mean? Straight porn has been made up of just spaff and runs for years,
I have to say this out loud on the podcast. I think it's important to say things like this and hold myself like accountable. I find myself, me of all people, if you believe it or not, becoming a bit more performatively conservative-ish. Like I found that I was being less sexually expressive. And ironically, it's been spending time with my friend Tara, who's like a really thick sex educator, like she's huge on TikTok. And just, she's so beautifully put together. Like, she's so elegant. She wears gorgeous clothing. She's got a doctorate, a PhD. Like, she's fucking genius. She teaches in, like, a university in California. But then she sits there and talks about how much she loves to have her clit sucked and her nipples put. And I'm like, you can be both. Like, why am I allowing myself, me of all people, to be influenced and to be, like, what's the word? Like, have my volume turned down almost. So I was like, fuck this. I'm going to have fun and I'm going to talk about it. And it was, you know what, it was so good.
Did you is that available to see now for a nominal fee on various platforms, or was it just
because we filmed before and it was, we spoke about this before on the podcast, it was a huge drama because remember that's M someone extracted.
Yes, I do. Oh yeah, it would put you off, wouldn't it? Like, the thing is, like, doing filming and stuff that can, like, it's an exciting thing to do in itself, isn't it? I mean, I guess you do a lot of it, so you're not as bothered, but filming yourself having sex, if people are like, I'm a porn star, this is a turn on. And I think that you've got very used to that, but a lot of these guys, they haven't, have they? Like, it's just like really horny, and then maybe months later they're like, And also, if he's fit, he's going to have a load of people who secretly hate him because he's fit, isn't he?
That's so crazy. You say that. I was having a conversation with him. I said to him the other night, I'm like, mad, you should just do content because he provokes people so easily. Like, his comment sections are always like, he's got tons of supporters, tons of detractors. Like, I'm like, listen, unfortunately, your content is out there. The majority, like, whenever he's discussed on the internet, there's a lot of references to the fact that he's done it. And not with me, thankfully. He's an idiot. No, he's a fucking idiot who got caught doing it with a trans woman. But, you know, to a lot of the people that view this shit, they don't see trans women as women. So he's being ripped apart for being, you know, shrugging my fingers, gay, for filming with a trans woman. So, I mean, people know this about him generally, as far as I'm aware. So I'm like, why the fuck don't you just do it? Like, you're objectively gorgeous. It's already out there. You are very sexually open.
The work's done, isn't it? Because that's part of the work, isn't it? Letting people think, oh, this guy's so fit and connected to this. Like, most of it is just putting your face out there, isn't it? A lot of the time, just want to entice people in. I was watching something the other week about Matthew, I can't remember his name, you know, a little Australian porn star that's won all kinds of stuff, best bottom adult video awards.
I should know that.
Matthew something. A taste of Matthew Hannum. He's Australian, also known as Matthew Ellis. And he was putting a guide on his Instagram as to how, so he's a content creator, does all different kinds of content, but you'd have to go to other platforms for that, and tries to tell you about it in a way where he's almost not telling you about it. And he's like, listen, you're not going to go viral putting clips that sail too close to the wind out there. You just need to put your face out there and have a nice face. And so a lot of it is just like, I don't know, there he is.
Oh, yeah.
He is the white dude, yeah, he's cute. Massive bottom, just living his best life. Interesting, because he used to be like, have a corporate career, got bored, was going to open up like a fitness, exercise bike, whatever the fuck that's called, spinning place in Sydney. It all fell through, and he turned to OnlyFans because he knew he could make a lot of money. And now it's just like, everyone knows his face, knows he's fit, knows he does porn, knows he's a bottom. What more do you need to know without getting cancelled off the platforms, you know?
Because I'm going to start doing more video content on my own Instagram, like, as Topher, not as Street Boy Twitter. And I'm going to, like, just start. I got taken for dinner with Tara and her publicist, who's this big, like, publicist. And she's like, you should just do it. Like, she goes, you're stupid to not do it. And I was like, all right. I was like, I'm just scared about being silent. So I'm going to start really doing that. Like, sex ed content. I just need to figure out what my angle is going to be. I'm a bit vulgar.
Your angle is like, as it stands now, where you're progressive queer guy that women like, that's also worked in like the sex industry, that you've already sorted out. All you really need to do, I think, and I say this because I have people like with me, why don't you do more political stuff? You know, just stick it on, you're just telling people your opinions. And I'm like, I could do that. But it's doing, like, it's forcing yourself to sit there and dealing with the fact that you're putting something out there, isn't it? Because this that we do now is almost like, if you know, you know. You go online and you listen to it. But when it's dropping into people's feeds as a kind of Topher's hot take on sex or my hot take on politics or something like that, it's different then, because you're like, people you went to school with are going to see it and everything.
I don't want to be fucking looking at myself on camera. Like, I get really bored of it. Like, if I had somebody come here, like, that's what I love with my friend Tara. She's got an assistant. So she'll film it, fire it all off to Adam, and then he throws it together for her. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, like, I guess I can get a slave. As you know what? I got super liked today by somebody who's a domestic slave.
Oh, right. You should lean into that. I've seen a few of them on various apps where they go into master slave sexual scenarios. Fine. Also interested in somebody who wants a non-sexual scenario, just doing bits around the house.
I do pedicures. Do you want references? And I'm like, yeah, please. But if you're not touching my feet for free, then no.
No. Well, if he does all of the...
There has to be a non...
Does all of the, like, the hoovering... It's got to be a little bit of a charge. Do you know, when I left my job, well, I didn't leave my job, it left me.
No comment,
In December, Nick, I know, what job? You've never worked a day. Nick Charles said to me, he was so sweet, by the way. He was on his way down here to see me. We were going to go out on that Saturday night when he was playing at the RVT. And he goes, I'm so sorry to hear that. Fuck. Are you okay for money? You could sell foot videos straight in. Is he on Foot Finder or something? Oh, he's always saying it. And he goes, babe, it's easy money. And I'm like, do you know what? Of all of that is the part of me that would earn the least money. Like grim feet, like feet like on a dead body. That's what I've got.
I've never actually really taken photos. What people, my subscribers are always saying to me, like, you take more pictures of your feet. And I don't really do that. I don't know why I don't do it.
So easy money. Why you're am I more standing on a gold
pictures
mine?
Pictures of my asshole than my feet. Weird, no?
But yeah, I would rather do that. Yeah, I'd rather. It would make more sense to me.
I need to get a better the joy is as well. I broke my toe 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago. So one of my toes is constantly like solid.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's just going out to one side.
It looks normal.
Perfect
feet,
but just
I'm looking at it now, it's fine. But like, it's constantly like stiff because they can't fix it. When you break a toe, it's like it's broken.
Are you aware of why foot fetishes are? Yeah. We had a plan for today's episode, by the way, guys.
Always happened.
I'll just say we'll have a little catch up and then we'll get into that stuff about Trump. But this episode is catch-up based, and that's the way we like it. So the reason feet are erotic, for some, for most, not. I don't find them erotic. Well, if someone's got lovely feet and I'm sexually attracted to them, they're attached to the person. But the reason that that people find it erotic is apparently the bit to do, now I'm thinking this through, it sounds like nonsense. I'm going, the bit to do with feet, that's the bit that sounds like I'm inventing it. The bit to do with feet and the bit to do with sex are very close to each other in the brain.
I didn't know that. I should know that.
Yeah. So that when that area is stimulated, so I've just described it really badly. The bit to do with, there's no the feet region of the brain. I don't know where that is. But it's something along them lines. There's two areas, and one of them's to do with pleasure and sex and stuff, and the other two is related to that, and they're both next to each other, and that is why it's very common. And the easiest one to serve, the foot content market is, honestly, it's always hungry for more
Just reminded me, I have heard about that, like, in the brain mapping, that the foot is near. Yeah, yeah, you're... Also, yeah. I think with feet are very easily masculine and feminine. So like a well cared for, like, toe, like, your foot can look, it can look extremely
dainty,
feminine.
Dainty toenails.
And then like a really rough foot with hairy toes or whatever can look overtly masculine. So I guess maybe a bit of that too. But I had one when I was younger. I had one man who was like obsessed with my feet and he used to buy me shoes all the time, like heels. And I'd be sat at my desk and like shoebox, like it would happen like once every few weeks. I'm not saying it's every day, but but he somehow figured out where the head office was back then, which kind of a red.
Then we and he would send you feet.
Yeah, just like
not
yeah.
feet.
Which be fair, that really man's history, it wouldn't fucking surprise me if he was sending me feet. Like that. I learned a few things about him after the fact. He was a bit of a dodgy character. He was always fine, as touch word with me.
God.
They're always kind of fine with me.
They're always fine with you. They just send you shoes. I mean, that some people, that'd be lovely. If I could train someone to send me just the ones I really like. Like a fresh pair of trainers every few weeks. The ones that I want.
Was no thing. I've still got loads of shoes that he sent me. But he was really, really into my feet. And he just used to play with them for ages. And I'd just be like, all right, I'd just be lying there like, okay. I mean, it doesn't piss me off. It doesn't turn me on.
When I was a kid, my mum and dad used to always like massage each other's feet on the couch.
That's cute.
It was like their thing. And I was, even we were just like sitting in there as kids, they'd be like, and if they didn't do it in a weird way. I didn't really understand it. I was like, can you massage mine now?
I think that's cute.
It is affection.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something cute. Like, I've got this thing now, like if a guy's coming over, like if I film with a guy or whatever, I'm like, afterwards, do you want a massage? It's just like a way of kind of saying thank you. Because obviously I'm having sex with them. They're getting kind of that reward, so to speak. They're getting to fuck. But obviously I'm filming it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, right, what I always offer is a massage. And I do actually massage feet, but feet don't really turn me on. I can't say they've ever done much.
No, but they could be fucking mingling.
Especially when you're like fucking like a bodybuilder or someone who lifts weights. Like they're all like, they're rough because of all that fucking pressure.
Yeah, they're rough. They've expanded. They've got expanded trotters.
All them things, but some people fucking love it. Constantly like, this guy who stayed over on Valentine's, I'm like, Jesus Christ. He likes it when you tickle the palm of his hand because he's got calluses.
Well, I've got some, that look, because you work with your hands. Yeah. Like, it's from lifting weights, isn't it? If you don't use straps on your hands. Yeah. Them bits there. Oh, look, like I've got, mine's look like scabies though. Have you ever had it?
I did have a hat when I used to live with people when I was younger. One of the housemates did get it, but I've never had touch wood.
Yeah.
Blech. That would give me it.
No, I had it when I was a kid, not a kid, like a teenager. I had crabs a few times and scabies, all the old school stuff. And I think I know who gave me scabies actually. It was my
Where
mate
did crabs
Pete.
Go?
Who occasionally? Oh, they're still there. They're still there. They're just like really inconvenient. But yeah, like scabies is basically mites burrowing through your skin. Like,
yeah,
minging, horrible. And I was living at my mum and dad's. Ooh, I was still at school. And my mum had to, and she was quite funny. Like my mum, like proper made me laugh. Like what? Before I sat down, I was very honest with my mum at the time. And before I sat down for like dinner one evening, she was like, oh, put a bin bag under him, like making out like, but it was quite funny the way they dealt with it. And everything in the house had to be boil washed because they had a sexually active teenage son who'd had sex with a few of his friends and got scabies. And I look back at them now and I go, some things they kind of fucked up a bit, you know, like when parents act like you've died for a week when you come out. But then after that, they were pretty cool. Like letting me come home and go, scabies again, everything's in the boil wash. Mum kind of laughed.
You
and
just,
I'm like, fair play, Les. Well done to you.
Traumatic memory for me. As you were saying that,
what?
When I lived with a housemate, so I lived with a friend and a kind of one person you would consider a friend, the third housemate was just really a housemate. So scabies came into the house. And I remember that my friend, he alluded that the reason the scabies came into the house is because of my sexual activity. And I was like, but I don't have scabies.
Right.
And then it turned into, it might be bed bugs. I'm like, but I don't have bed bugs. But it was all this kind of like intellectually dishonest way of shaming me for having sex. Yeah, and I was like, oh my God.
It
like,
often is.
It's kind of harsh. You know? Like, I don't, how am I getting the blame when I haven't got it? If this man's been inside me, I'm pretty sure I'd be the one who got, I mean, not my other housemate.
You're the sexually active one. Yeah. You've got to be blamed. Like, yeah, that's not fair. But, and nightmare to get rid of. I'll tell you what the worst thing was as a teenager, having to go into Boots and asking a roundabout way, can I have Dareback M? As Dareback M is the, that's the thing, or it was when I was like 19, it was the thing that got rid of scabies and crabs. So it was, you knew what, and it smelt really weird. I can still smell it now because the number of times I had to use it. Because that I'm kind of exposing myself as a slang,
I mean,
as a teenager.
I'm doing it in my 30s.
Honestly, as a teenager, have I told you this before, why I like had sex a lot as a teenager? Well, number one, my sex drive is high because you're a teenager and you fucking testosterone through the roof. But it's also because like, I watched this thing on Channel 4. There used to be a thing on called Queer Street 90s. It's like groundbreaking late night queer programming on a Saturday night, like 10, 11 o'clock. Hidden away, yeah, midnight, you know, I get out to. But my nan would go, I stayed at my nan's every weekend, so my nan would go to bed. And she's like, we'll see you tomorrow morning. She'd leave me to it. And I'd watch what the fuck I like. Eurotrash, wanking over the fucking catalogue. A great show. Great show. You know, I'd have a look. I'd do everything I needed to do as a teenage boy. Everyone had gone to bed. And that thing came on. And there was a show about these... I didn't really understand the impact of HIV and why these men behaved the way they did, but it was like a load of gay men were meeting at this party in Florida, and they were followed by a documentary crew, and they went, we were asked to leave whilst everyone had sex. And it was like, why are these men getting together at this age, 30s, to have sex? And the answer was, when they were teenagers, when they wanted to behave like this, they couldn't. And I was watching that as a teenager, age 14, 15, and I was immediately like, I'm never making that mistake. I'll have sex and now and not regret it. I didn't want to get to be one of them people who gets older and then just becomes like, I didn't do the sex when I was younger because I've seen it and thought, what a waste of 20 years. But this is a 15-year-old kid who doesn't actually understand the impact of what HIV and AIDS had on people's sex lives from the 80s and 90s.
It's kind of a mature place to come from. Like, if you're young, you're very young and you're going, you know what, I'm going to break the cycle that these men, because you can see that the kind of acting out at an older age because they missed out, and you're going, you know what, fuck that, I don't want to miss out. Like, I was, unfortunately, I was a type of person who was influenced by straight culture, so I was influenced by the idea of virginity and waiting for your first boyfriend and trying to keep it as pure as possible. So I waited until my first proper relationship to get fucked, and then I didn't, like I said in the previous episode a few weeks ago, I ended up thinking I didn't like sex, you know, because I'd followed the route that I thought I should. I think you went about it the right way. I mean, yeah, we can talk about HIV risk and STI risk.
But I was quite clued up on that when I was younger.
That's a really mature...
But I'd still take
risks. I wish I was like that. I think I would have been a lot fucking happier. I wasted 5 years of my life with some prick. It's the thing that brings the conversation always back around to, like, queer sex ed. We get thrown out into the world full of so much shame and with no fucking information. And then you wonder why these kids end up in these ridiculous situations. You wonder why, you know, there was massive fluctuations in the HIV rate pre-PrEP. Because young adults, weren't clued up and they were making stupid decisions. Like, even me, when I first started to fuck after that relationship, and even when I was first, like, playing around, I didn't realize that, like, baby oil would dissolve a condom.
I wouldn't have known that. But what we were getting taught when we were younger was fucking useless at school, wasn't it? It was no use at all. Kids now are like learning how to fuck on, how to have sex. Queer sex in particular, watching, let's focus on queer sex, because what they're going to be watching is people having quite vigorous, rough sex, men that have been prepped for that for ages and like that, and a lot of strangulation and stuff like that, with no context of how, you know, what does and doesn't fly, and coming straight out onto the dating apps too young and getting introduced straight away to sex that they're not ready for, and also people that are broken as adults that are going to go, well, why don't you just get involved in a bit of this chem sex? And I just feel like we're funneling people out who are ill-prepared for a world where, imagine if you were the queer kids at school and they were like, right, these are the things you're going to have to deal with in the next few years, let's get through them seriously. Imagine how the HIV rates, the mental health rates, drug addiction rates, they'll drop. Why are we not doing that?
Homophobia. We're not doing that we know why.
I don't know.
The homophobia. The I mean, I'm just really kind of sick of it. And it's just touching on what you said, I thought that was really interesting. As someone who makes adult content, there is a responsibility. And I do have, like, people message me who are like 18, 19. And they're like, oh, I want to be like you. Like, I get it. And this can make me sound really arrogant, but it's just a fact. I get a lot of young kind of cross-dresser adjacent kind of, like, young adults who are, say, like, 18 to 20, and they're like, oh, I love your content. Yeah. I want to be dressed just like you. And I'm like, oh, whoa. Like, I'm a 36-year-old person who's worked in the adult industry since I was 18. Like, there's a lot of content, context with me. Like, I've addressed all my shame. I've dealt with all my shit. I know how to have sex. I know how.
Yeah.
But the one bit of feedback I get, which I do like, and I'm glad that I kind of encourage, is that my adult content isn't bang rough sex. Some of it's obviously quite sensual and you start clapping, whatever, but it's very sensual. And I really like the number one bit of feedback I get from my content, people watching it, is like, wow, you really like these guys. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, that's why I do it. So there's I'm glad that I encourage yeah. that.
That's great. What more do you want? What more do you want to go out in the world with? I mean,
I think as well, if we're talking about the kind of men that I film with as well, especially like if you're getting a young DL person who wants to have sex, they're not used to so much affection because they're used to being seen as sex objects or like masculine type. So I try and like encourage like, he might look like a murderer. He might be this big, scary, tough, you know, muscular man, but it doesn't mean he doesn't want to like have a cuddle or be enjoyed. So I try to encourage that a little bit.
Yeah. There's different kinds of sex, isn't there? But for you to truly get something good from it, the connection, the establishing of connection, the establishing of trust before you move on to other things, it's the absolute bedrock.
Yeah, like you learn to assert yourself more as you get older. So what when I get these younger people, they're usually about 20 to 25 and they'll be messaging me and I'll be like, I don't usually reply to many messages, but if I clock it, somebody who's kind of, I don't want to sound like a prick here, influenced by me or wants to be kind of like what or do what I'm doing, I'm always kind of like, you need to assert yourself because if you're putting yourself into a situation with an intimidating man or somebody who on the street kind of just scares you or whatever.
And you're going to bring that energy into the bedroom, aren't you? It's just good to like, as well.
I was saying this, funny enough, I was being interviewed by Tara for her podcast. And I kept saying the word communicate and she was laughing at me. It's not like taking the piss. She was laughing because it sounded like I was trying to be formal. But I really mean it. Like communication is so important. Like it's so, and you learn to communicate a lot more confidently as you get older. And that comes from experience. So what I try and push in with my sex ed writing always is like, you need to make sure you're cool with it yourself first. Because then you can like confidently, like I can say to a guy, don't pull my hair. I don't like it. Don't strangle me. I don't like it. Don't finger me with your rough nails. Like all this kind of, because the thing is, these guys, they watch porn.
And it's rough and they don't know what all of the stuff that's gone in before. I don't know if you've seen some porn. It's just like you've got a bottom and top goes straight in, not just with dicks, but like an arm or a dildo this long. And you get people who are not particularly au fait with what's gone on and they don't know there's actually been 3 hours of build-up before they get to that stage. And all they're saying is the end result from whatever camera angle, where it's like, whoop, straight up. And
a lot of them use numbing agents as well. Like when they're filming.
That's a dangerous game. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but I have many years ago. And thinking back to it now, I'm like, I wouldn't want to be decoupled from the feelings I'm meant to feel. Otherwise, how do you know if something's... good for you or not?
I got really piled on once because I wrote a guide to anal sex and I referenced desensitizing loops, but I wasn't talking about numbing the whole area. I was talking about taking the edge off. Funny enough, I was just had a phone call with this lube brand and I'm doing an event for them. There's a lube brand called Pure, PJUR. They're a German brand. I love them. They're my favorite lube, next to a company called How. But they have a product called Backdoor, which has a very gentle desensitizing agent.
Seen it. Has it got jojoba? It's got that thing in it, hasn't it? It's got some additional. Jojoba.
If it's from South London, it's jojoba.
It's jojoba. Yeah, I have seen that. But there are some out there like fist numb, which is like people will just slap it on and it's like, you're going to want to feel a bit of that.
You've been hurt.
Or it's just blunt force trauma. Further to that, some people are like, you want to know if you've been hurt. That beyond a certain point, there's no nerves in you. So you need all the signals listen you can get before you get to
that's
that point.
Something else, that's communicate and listen to your body. But it is so true. I mean, that's the thing. If you want to be good in bed, communicate and listen to your body because then you know what to do.
Yeah, and get on the level with the person you're having sex with. Otherwise... who wants to carry the tensions of the everyday world into the bedroom? Topher, this was meant to be a bit before we talked about stuff, but it's half an hour in. This is what it's like. Shall we talk next time more on, well, what everyone's been talking about recently, Trump and is he
No, he's
okay?
Not.
It doesn't seem
completely
he is.
Losing his marbles and it couldn't happen to a bigger cunt.
And the BAFTA incident, there's lots to unpack there. I didn't know what to think. And me and my dearly beloved were trying to work our way through it. And the thing I was having to remind myself all the time, we'll get into this next time, the thing I was having to remind myself all the time was that when you're dealing with your friends who are people of colour or your partners and stuff like that, and you see an incident like that, we're not feeling the same thing as them because we haven't been re-traumatised by the use of the N-word just before celebrating a movie that was about anti-racism at a specific moment, and they were very much let down, and I was just lost as to who to feel worse about. But we all know the bad guy is in that. More on that next time. Topher, I'll see you then. Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.